Let me try that one more time. Good morning, PCC. Amen. It is great to be in the house of the Lord again. I am grateful to be here, and I hope that you would feel the same way too. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. I want to say awesome job by the praise and worship team this morning. Can we just give them a hand? Amen. You know, every time I come and I hear the praise team, man, it's just wonderful. You feel like you are in the presence of the Lord. And you should feel that way, because that's what happens when two or three of us are gathered together in His name. Amen? Amen. He says that the presence of God is there with us. All right. So, today we're going to be continuing on the series, which is fear. Fearless. We've been dealing with the subject of fear for the last couple of weeks. And I know that you have heard a couple of messages by Pastor Gary. And the first one that he spoke on, which he spoke on the fear of ghosts. Amen. And I'm pretty sure that was a very interesting sermon. I listened to the sermon and I thought to myself, man, Pastor Gary is very bold, and hearing him saying how, you know, he used to tell his wife that if ever he die, he wants the bed to be changed. You guys remember that one? Very interesting, very interesting. And then Pastor Gary followed up on that one last week with the next installment of the series, which is the fear of failure. The fear of failure, and one of the things that he emphasized in that sermon is the fact that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to be able to do that. Amen? And I got to tell you that the fear of failure is a very important fear for us to overcome, because it stops a lot of us from achieving certain things that we want to in life. And I think that it's important for us to understand how do we overcome that. And Pastor Gary gave you that sermon last week, and I know it was wonderful because I listened to it over on the podcast, which was very good. Today, we will be continuing on the series, and today we're going to be talking about another fear. And the fear that we're going to be speaking about today is the fear of commitment. The fear of commitment. And what that fear is, it helps us to understand the importance of commitment, and that commitment is important in order for us to make any kind of success or to achieve anything in life. If there is one thing that is responsible for everything that you do in life, it is commitment. And I believe that once we understand how to overcome that fear, we will start seeing us having breakthroughs in our lives. So with that said, let us just bow our heads in a word of prayer real quick. Father, thank you for this moment, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people and speak. As we open up your word and as we speak on the subject of fear of commitment this morning, we're asking you to guide my thoughts and help us to hear your word and obey your voice. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 So as I was saying earlier, the fear of commitment is a very important fear to get over. It is a very important fear to overcome. And today we're going to be talking about three aspects of the fear of commitment. And the number one thing we're going to deal with is, number one, we have to first discover what is the value of commitment. In order for us to understand how to commit or why we are so fearful of commitment, it's important that we understand the value of commitment or the importance of being committed. The second thing that we need to understand is also how to deal with the fear, or what is the fear of commitment. We will talk about that, and what is the cause of the fear of commitment. And then lastly, we're going to be talking about some tools as to how we can overcome the fear of commitment. How can we overcome the fear of commitment? According to George Barna, who is a research guru, he says that there has been a steady decline in the depth of commitment among people who call themselves Christian, which is us and other people who call themselves Christians. He says that there has been a decline in church attendance. There has also been a decline in volunteering. And there has also been a decline in the number of people who call themselves believers in the reading of the scriptures. He is saying that 10% of the people there's been a 10% drop in the amount of people who are Christians who read the Bible apart from church. He understands that most of us read the Bible when we do come to church. But he's saying that for people after you leave the church building, he's saying that there has been a steady decline in the number of people who are reading the scriptures at home. And that ought to be a little bit discouraging. Amen. And I believe that it's important for us to understand what's going on with our commitment issues that is causing those things. Now, we're not only seeing commitment issues just in the church, but we're also seeing commitment issues in our workplaces. We're also seeing commitment issues in our government systems, and we're seeing commitment issues everywhere that we go. According to Christianity Today in 2008, it says that more than half of the people aged 20 to 24 had been with their current employer less than a year. More than half of the people have been with their employer for less than a year. Do you think that they might have some commitment issues? Absolutely. It is also said that the average graduate that is graduating from college are only spending about 5 years in the field, and then they totally leave the field and do something different from what they went to school for. Now, that's staggering as a parent. Thinking about later on of my children going to college. You're thinking that they're going to figure out what they want to do, and then after hundreds of thousands of dollars, you realize that they don't want to do that. I mean, that ain't going to happen, right? Amen. So you see that in our society, we are having some commitment issues, and commitment is very important as believers for us to be able to achieve any kind of success in our lives. Without commitment, we will be ineffective in every single area of our lives. And that's why it's important for us to be committed. There is a story that is told of a chicken and a pig who was walking by a farm store one day. And as they were walking by the farm store, they saw a sign on the store that says, "Need help." And the farmer put on there that, "I ran out of eggs and I ran out of bacon." So the chicken and the pig were having a conversation. They said, "You know, we should really try and help this farmer." And you know, the pig took a look at the chicken and said, "Well, here's the problem. You see, for you, it's only a contribution. But for me, it's total commitment." So the bacon that you ate this morning, it did take the pig total commitment for you to have that bacon. All right? So here we go. What is the value of commitment? Why is commitment so important? Why is it so important? Before we understand that, the first thing we need to do is first find out what is the definition of commitment. And here's the definition. The definition of commitment is this: a promise to do or give something. It is a promise to be loyal to someone or something. It is the attitude of someone who works very hard to do something or support something. Commitments affect every area of your life. And I also said that commitment also affects the longevity of life. If you're ever going to achieve anything in life, it's going to take commitment. The other thing that we need to understand about commitment is commitment reveals our values. Commitment reveals our values. You see, there are most people are committed about their money. They're committed about making money. You ever see some people that all is on their mind is money, 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 money? That's it. You know, the minute they go for an interview, the first question is, how much does it pay? How much am I going to make? When do we get paid? Forget about what the job entails. We just want to know when we getting paid. You know, so those people are committed to their money. Some people are also committed to their possessions. It's important. Their possessions are important. My house is important. My car is important. Where I live is important. Those kind of things are very important. And then there are also people who are committed to their families. Especially coming around the holidays, we want to make sure that all the kids and the grandkids and everyone come around us. We want to feel very special by knowing that we have our entire family around us, right? And even when your kids get married and move on, you still make sure that they come home for Christmas or they come home for New Year's. You call them every day on the phone. Why? Because you are committed to family and you want to make sure that that family atmosphere is continued. The next thing that other people are committed to is their careers. People are committed to their careers. I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a surgeon, I'm a plumber. And they spend many time, an enormous amount of time in that field. As a matter of fact, they work so much that you barely even see them because they're committed to the job. They're committed to their career. And so commitment, you can see that it is very important. And then there are some people like me who is committed to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if you're a sports fan, but right now the Dallas Cowboys is looking good. They're 8-1, hopefully about to be 9-1 by the end of the day. And I'm committed. I've been committed to the team ever since 1995, I think it was, right? And I even got a little bit more committed when my brother was drafted 2 years ago to the Cowboys, believe it or not. And then after they cut him, I was upset for about 5 minutes. But I was still committed to the Dallas Cowboys. So commitment, you see, is very important. And as believers, we are called to be committed. We are called to be committed to Christ. As a matter of fact, the very first commandment says that you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all your strength. That is commitment. From a biblical understanding, every single believer ought to be committed to God as their number one priority. The other thing that we also ought to be committed to is we ought to be committed to the church because we are one family and we are the body of Christ. And so it's important that as a church, we stay committed to each other. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the statistics that are going on, you will find that there has been a drastic decline in the number of people who have been saved attending church on a regular basis. I mean, there have been people who started off great, they love the Lord, they're serving the Lord, and then 5 minutes later you don't see them. You wonder, what happened to you? Well, I started to work, I started a new job, well, I started going to school, we're not really committed to the church, and the Bible tells us that we ought to be committed to the church because we are the body of Christ. The other thing that we need to be committed to is we need to be committed to serving one another. When the Bible says that, there's two really great commandments. One, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second, Jesus said, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourselves. That's commitment. That's being committed to serving one another. And that's one of the things that you find in the scripture that they teach you that. So here's the thing. Whatever you don't commit to tells you that you don't value it as much. Whatever you don't commit to, it is evidence that that is not valuable to you. So what does commitment do? Commitment shapes our future. It is the roadmap to success. Commitment builds character. Commitment builds character. It builds an attitude in an individual of never giving up. You ever see some people in life, they started out great, And as soon as they hit a wall, everything just goes out the door. I mean, they're doing good. You're doing good in school, and then you just meet this one teacher who doesn't like you. And all of a sudden, you're failing everything. I mean, you're doing great in the relationship. You're dating and you're having a good time. And then she mentions the word marriage. Whoa. That right there is a huge commitment. And so commitment here, it builds that character in you. And it's that attitude that I will never give up. No matter how difficult things get, no matter how impossible things may seem, I'm still going to continue and continue until I succeed. Listen to what Vince Lombardi said, who is a legendary football coach. He says, once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. Once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. I remember Tim Duncan back in, I think it was 2012, when they lost to the Miami Heat in the championship, right? And everybody was questioning whether or not Tim Duncan was going to come back the following year, considering that he had one or two more years left on his contract. Most people were speculating that Tim Duncan was about to retire. And I remember the reporter looked at Tim Duncan, and the reporter said to Tim Duncan, hey, so Tim, are you going to come back next year, or are you going to retire? And Tim Duncan said something that actually just blew my mind. He looked at the reporter, and he stared her in the eye, and he said to her, I am under contract, aren't I? And he said, if I'm under contract, I'm going to be here. You see, Tim Duncan had character. He had this thing where once I make a commitment to be here, guess what? I'm going to be it. I'm going to see this whole thing through, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how impossible it gets, no matter how trials may come. I'm still going to see this thing through. So commitment, it builds character. It determines the type of person that I become. And here's another thing. You become what you commit to. You become what you commit to. They also said that the sum total of your commitments and your habits determine the type of person that you become. The sum total of your commitment and your habits determine the type of person that you become. Now here's the other thing that we need to understand. Is that God gives us blessings whenever we're committed. God gives us blessings whenever we're committed. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, listen to this verse. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plan. One more thing about the value of commitment. Commitment brings meaning to your life. It brings meaning to your life. You see, when people are committed, they develop a passion of life. They are passionate. They develop this drive that kind of push them, no matter how difficult things is. These are the people who wake up in the morning and they don't think that it's oh gosh, it's raining outside. It's a great day when they wake up in the morning because they have a passion for life. In other words, they live life purposeful. There are two types of people I believe in the world. There are those who live and there are those who exist. And when you are committed, guess what? You're living. But when you are not committing, then you find yourself just existing. You're just going by. And so it's important for us to understand these commitments. They also regularly set goals. They are intentional about taking actions about achieving their goals every day. So commitment is very valuable. It is very valuable. And even though commitment is valuable, very few people do it. Even as believers, we don't commit. We have commitment issues. And one of the reasons why we have commitment issues is because of our fear of commitment. Our fear of commitment. So the question is, what is the fear of commitment? People who lack commitment are people who are unwilling to stick it out for the long term. You see, the fear of commitment is like the fire suit that people put on just to protect themselves from taking responsibility or action that is needed to influence the outcome of their lives. So you have this difficulty that is coming in your life that requires commitment, and so all of a sudden you put this suit on. I can't do it. And what it does, it prevents you from having any kind of responsibility. Listen to what Zig Ziglar, a very well-known motivational speaker, said. He says, most people who fail in their dreams fail not from lack of ability, but from lack of commitment. So the reason why most of us aren't able to achieve any success in our lives is because it may be that we lack commitment. So the question is, what causes commitment? What causes commitment? And let me see if I can go a little bit deep. I hope you just follow me real quick so I can explain a little bit what causes commitment. Commitment is caused by a wound. Commitment is caused by a wound. Some of us has been hurt at some point in our lives. A wound that may have been caused by a lost love. This is the person who was in a relationship with someone, and you might find that eventually this person cheated on you. Or this person abused you. And what it did, inside of you, it caused you to become angry and upset. It wounded you. And what that wound does, it creates a belief system. And I'm going to explain that in a second. But there are also people who are not only hurt in relationship, but there are some people who are hurt by the church. I remember T.D. Jakes said one time that the church is the only place that you go where they shoot the wounded. You got problems? We hurt the people who come here to get help. So there are some people who are hurt by churches. And so you will find that they will go from church to church to try to find some kind of solution because they've been hurt. And some of them, not only do they go from church to church, some of them don't even go to church at all. If you listen to most people who have been to church and you ask them, well, why haven't you been? Because those people, this is what they did. They've been hurt by church. Some of us have been hurt by our employer. I mean, they work us to death. And when it's time for you to get a promotion, denied. And so you get hurt. You get angry. And what that does, it creates a belief system in you. And the belief system that is created in you is, I will never. You ever said that before in your life? Something ever happened to you that I will never trust another person again. You will never hurt me again. Some people, I will never commit to doing that again. You ever lend people's money before and they didn't give it back to you, and you made this commitment, I will never, ever, ever lend you again. I don't care if you're dying, I'm not going to help you because I've been hurt. And so it creates that belief system in you. And that belief system is a philosophy that is determined by the hurt that was done to you. And what that does, it becomes the lens through which you view the world. It becomes the glasses through which you see the world. It becomes the lens through which you see reality. Because I've been hurt. So now you only see life through being hurt. And because you are hurt, now you create a pledge or you create a commandment. And your commandment is, I can't trust people. People cannot be trusted. No wonder why we're looking at a time where the divorce rate is 50% in the world and also in the church. lack of trust. Because we have been hurt, and so we form this belief system, and now we have this commandment that it will never happen again. You will never be able to do this. I can't trust you. And so every time you're dealing with that person, guess what you do? You look back through that lens. And guess what? The wound caused the belief. The belief caused the commandment. And now the commandment controls your behavior. So what do you do? Anything that requires any kind of commitment, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. You know that you should study. You know that you should go to work. You know that you should be putting in the relationship, but you decided that, you know what, I can't do it. Why? Because I'm afraid of getting hurt. And that's how the fear of commitment works. It is that we create this commandment, and it becomes a shield to protect us from the pain. And what that does, it creates anxiety. And so we become so fearful of the unknown that we develop a fear of commitment. We develop a fear of commitment. And you know, along with that fear, what happens? We also become indecisive. We can't make a decision. Anything that requires me to make a decision, I can't do it. And so what we do is we would rather allow the decision to be made for us rather than we make the decision. But did you realize that indecision is a decision? That even though you don't make a decision, you actually are making a decision. And that's one of the things that we don't understand about the fear of commitment. The fear of commitment says, don't make a decision, because if you make a decision, you're going to get hurt again. So rather than that, I can't do it. I'm afraid she's going to hurt me again, like I was hurt when I was in high school. I'm afraid I'm not going to get my money back. I'm afraid. And guess what it does? It causes you to stop making decision. It causes you to stop. And what we do is we tell ourselves lies. I'm trying to keep my options open. This is the reason why I can't commit. I'm just trying to keep my options open. When in fact, what we're doing is we are seeking perfection. We're trying to seek the perfect situation, especially in relationships. One of the reasons why we have a hard time committing is because we want the perfect person. We want the perfect situation. We want the perfect marriage. And so anytime there's a little bit of difficulty or anything that calls for us to commit, guess what we do? I'm not interested. We can't find a perfect situation, so we do one or two things. We either bail or we make false promises. We either quit. You ever see some people who they were going all the way up to the altar, and then all of a sudden they got cold feet and run the opposite direction? Or they say, I'm going to get married to you next year, and next year never come. I'm going to study, and you never get the chance to study. I'm actually going to start my business. I'm starting it next week. And next week comes, and you have a difficult time committing because of those wounds that were created. And the number one reason why we have that fear of commitment is because we are afraid of failing. And Pastor Gary talked about the fear of failure last week. The reason why we are so scared of making commitments is because we are afraid of failure. Listen to this, that the greatest mistake we make is living in constant fear that we will make one. That's the greatest mistake we make. We walk around with this fear that I'm going to make a mistake. And guess what we do? We make a mistake. How many relationships some of you have lost just because of that fear of commitment? How many business plans have been lost just because of that fear of commitment? How many times have you said you're going to do, but because of your fear, you just never get the chance to be able to do it? You know why? Fear of commitment, it enslaves us, and it causes us to become stuck. Now we're unable to make a decision. And you know what we do? We miss out on the opportunity to fulfill God's purpose. We will never be able to be efficient, and we will never be able to be effective. So here you are in the middle of your life, and you still can't finish your degree. You still don't even have the GED. Every year, I'm going to do it, but you never get around to it because of your fear of commitment. You still can't maintain a relationship. And you jump from relationship to relationship to relationship, trying to find the perfect match. But there is no such thing as the perfect match. And you will never find it. You still can't hold a job. It's always the boss's fault. It's always you can't get along with the employees. But you never take responsibility for your action. And what those people do is you begin to settle. You begin to settle. You become comfortable. And I'm going to tell you this, comfortable is one of the worst places that you can ever be in your life. We like to take the path of least resistance. And so it's important that we learn how to overcome these kind of commitments. So now I understand that commitment is very valuable. We understand that it's fearful to make commitments. And we understand that those commitments are caused by some wounds that I've done in our past. And those wounds have created a belief system that now have made me pledge or make a commandment. And it has controlled my behavior. So what do I do to overcome this commitment? What do I do? What do I do? How do I get over it? If you will with me, and you can see it on the screen, I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. But if you can't turn to it, don't worry. It's right there on the screen, and I'm going to read it for you. And this is in the book of Joshua. Let me just give you a little bit of history of what's going on here. The children of Israel, they passed from Egypt, and now they are in the land of Canaan. And they have been going through all these wars, and they've been destroying everyone that's been coming in front of them. God has given them so much strength that they can now overcome everybody that has just came in their way. And Joshua is now at the end of his life, and now he brought the whole nation of Israel together. And Joshua is saying, "Hey, listen, I want to give you one final warning, or just one final saying before I leave, or before I depart." And that's what Joshua is now here speaking to the children of Israel. And look at verse number 14, what he says. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." In other words, what Joshua is saying to the children of Israel, listen, we need to commit ourselves to the Lord. We don't need to live our life in fear anymore, but we need to put our full confidence in God. And we need to be fully committed to Him. And Joshua goes on and he says, but in order for you to be committed to Him, he said, throw away the gods of your ancestors. You throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wait a second, what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you see what Joshua is saying here? Joshua is saying, listen, in order for you to be committed to God, there are some things that is going to be required of you. And I know that you've had some struggles with some false gods before. And I know that you're coming out of Egypt to where Egypt had all these different kind of gods that we were serving. And I know that we're in Canaan, where even some of the people here are serving their own kind of gods. And guess what? We've dabbled a little bit into that also. But I want to tell you something. If serving the Lord becomes undesirable for you, I want you to make a choice. So the first thing Joshua is saying, in order for you to be able to commit or to overcome commitment, the first thing you need to do is face your fears. The first thing you need to do is stand up to what it is that you're afraid of. What is it that you're afraid of? I am afraid that I'm going to fail. I am afraid that I'm not going to be able to keep up my end of the bargain. I am afraid that I'm never going to be the person that I really, that I say that I am. Or you're going to be the person that you say that you are, and so I can't commit. And Joshua said, hey, listen, so when you stand up against your fears, here is the thing that you need to do. You need to be decisive.
What?
You need to be decisive. In other words, decide what is it that you want. You see, the problem with people who struggle with the fear of commitment is the fact that they have a problem deciding, making decisions, and so they allow the decisions to be made for them. And Joshua is saying, listen, I don't want you to make the decision be made for you. Joshua said, in order for you to commit to God, guess what? You need to make a decision. You need to decide. You need to be decisive. Commitment comes as a result of choice, not conditions. Commitment comes as a result of choice. And some people, what they do is they delay making those decisions because they're afraid of being wrong. And Joshua is saying, listen. You need to decide what you want. So how do I decide what I want? Set regular goals. Set regular goals. So you're in a relationship. What is the goal of that relationship? So you're in school. What is your goal for being in school? So you're on the job. What is your goal for being on the job? You see, the thing is, if you aim at nothing, guess what? You will never miss. If you aim at nothing, you will never miss. And so Joshua is saying here, hey, listen. Hey, God wants full commitment for you, from you. But in order for you to make that commitment, you have to make a decision. You have to start deciding. The second thing he said is, you need to let go. You need to let go. So look what Joshua said here. In verse number 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors who they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. Joshua is saying what? In order for you to overcome commitment, you have got to learn to let go.
What?
Let go of what? Let go of the thing that is enslaving you. Let go of the thing that is captivating you. And the thing that have been captivating Israel throughout all these years is idolatry. Every now and then, they went into idolatry. And so Joshua is saying, hey, listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, the first thing you have to do, you have to let go of these gods. And for some of us, if we're ever going to commit to anything, we have got to learn how to let go of the past hurts. We have got to learn how to let go of the lack of trust. It doesn't mean that you're not wise. It just means that, okay, I've let go what you have done to me because I'm not going to allow what you do to me stop me from accomplishing my goals or my visions or my dreams or what is it that God has prepared for me to do. And so that's exactly what Joshua here is saying. Hey, listen, if you're going to commit to God, the first thing you need to do, you need to let go. Let go of your past hurts. Let go of your fear. Let go of your lack of trust. Just let it go. Just let it go. Why are you holding on to it? I mean, aren't you tired of how it's destroying your life? Aren't you tired of how you have this commitment issue, and every time you try to do something, you just don't see it through? I mean, you start off great. I mean, think about it. Every year we start off great. We have our New Year's resolution, and we have everything all set. And by the time March comes around, guess what? Everything goes out the door. Do you know that that's why the gyms now have capitalized on that? And that's why the gyms now, what they allow you to do is, they say, okay, if you want to use our gym, you have got to sign a commitment for a long time. Why? Because we don't trust you. We know that after December 31st, everybody gets guilty for all the eating they have done throughout the whole holiday season. And they make a New Year's resolution that they're going to lose weight. And they start off great the first week of January. And they're doing good up to February. But by the time March comes around, the gym is empty. And so they said, in order to protect us from that, guess what? We're going to have you make a commitment. And that commitment is going to make sure that we get our money, whether or not you show up. And so Joshua here is saying, hey, listen, if you want to become who God has called you to be, you need to learn to let it go. Third thing we need to do. So Joshua says, be decisive, let it go. And the third thing he says is take action. Take action. Look what he says in verse number 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the ancestors served among the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see what Joshua is saying? Joshua is not saying that later on we're going to make that decision. Joshua is saying, as of right now, as of this moment, I'm not going to plan what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm not going to plan what I'm going to do next week or next year. Joshua says, as of this moment, I'm taking action. We're going to serve the Lord. And the reason why most of us aren't able to commit is failure to take action. And so this is why we procrastinate. And we say we're going to do it tomorrow. And we're going to do it next week. But if you want to get over your procrastination, guess what you need to do? Take action. Take action. Listen to what Zig Ziglar says. And you hear me quote a lot of Zig Ziglar. He says, it was character that got us out of bed, but commitment that moves us into action, and discipline that enable us to follow through. So some of us will be sitting there lying in our bed in the morning, and we don't want to get up. You look at the time, and 7 o'clock, oh, I get up in about 5 minutes. 7:30, oh, give me about 5 more minutes. 8 o'clock, oh, man, I'm late for work, but oh what? And then you get fired. Why? Because you refused to take action when it was necessary for you to do it. And so Joshua says, hey, listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, guess what? You need to take action. You need to take action right now. You know what that means? You know what that's called? It's called taking responsibility. Lack of commitment or the fear of commitment is a lack of responsibility. And Joshua's saying that, hey, listen, if you want to get over your lack of responsibility, guess what you need to start doing? Taking responsibility. But how do you take responsibility? Action. Little small step every single day will form a habit. And that's going to be the deciding factor into whether or not I am successful in anything I do. So Joshua is saying, hey, listen, you want to serve the Lord? You want to serve God? Joshua is saying is, number one, you need to be decisive. Number two, Joshua is saying, you need to let go of the past hurts and the difficulty that you're going through. And the third thing Joshua is saying, hey, listen, you need to commit to taking course, a course of action. Do something every day that will bring you one step closer to your commitment goals. Let me repeat that again. Do something every day that's going to take you one step closer to your commitment goals. So if my goal is to graduate, what can I do every day that's going to take me one step closer to that? If my goal is to serve the Lord, what can I do every day to demonstrate that I'm serving the Lord? What can I do to demonstrate that I have that commitment? If I'm in a relationship, what am I doing every day to show you how committed I am to this relationship? It's very important for you to do something every single day so that you can be able to commit. So here's the thing. And I got 5 minutes and then the praise team is going to come up. So here's the thing. It's three things. Fearful. Faithful, and earlier we sang, "Great is thy faithfulness," and fearless. So here's what we need to understand. When you are fearful, what is needed is that you become faithful so that you can become fearless. Let me repeat that again. When you are fearful, you need to become faithful so that you can become fearless. You see, Peter was fearful because when Jesus was arrested, Peter was confronted by some people and they said to Peter, "Hey, Peter, hey, didn't you know Jesus?" Nope. Didn't you know? Nope. Peter was fearful. But then Jesus got a hold of him after that. And Jesus sat him down and Jesus forgave him and Jesus set him free. Peter became faithful to where Peter was now leading the church. The same guy that was denying Jesus was now leading the church of Jesus Christ. You see that? And now Peter became so faithful that he became fearless. In fact, that when they were getting ready to kill Peter, Peter said, "I'm not even worthy to be in the same position as my Lord. Turn me upside down." That's because Peter was fearful. But then Peter became faithful so that he can become fearless. Peter was fearful. Another person, Paul. The Apostle Paul was fearful of all these Christians going around and multiplying. And he was worried that the Jewish people at that time was going to be obsolete. And Paul was like, "Hey, we got to do something about these Christians." So Paul says, "You know what? I have a plan. I'm going to go kill them." And Paul was on the road to Damascus. And on his way to the road to Damascus, Paul met Jesus. And then Paul ended up becoming one of the greatest writers in the New Testament church because he became faithful. And after Paul became faithful, guess what Paul did? He became fearless because Paul was the one that says, "For me to live is Christ and for me to die is gain." Because he was fearful, he became faithful, and then he became fearless. And let me tell you about Jesus, who was in the Garden of Gethsemane one day. And when he realized that he was about to go to the cross, he began to say, "Lord, if there was another way." Now, I'm not going to tell you that Jesus was fearful, because he was not. But he said, "Lord, if there is another way, I would ask you to take it away." But then Jesus realized that this was the reason for why he came. And then Jesus became faithful because Jesus said, "Nevertheless, it is not my will, but thine be done." And then Jesus went on the cross and he died for your sins and my sins. He became faithful. And then after that, He became fearless because Jesus went down into Hades and he said, I now have the keys of death and hell, because he became fearless. And he did that all just for you, just for me. You see, Jesus demonstrated what it meant to be committed. If you asked Jesus, would you have died again? If it was, he would have said, every time. Because you know why? He realized he is committed to us. And so he made a decision. And he, to demonstrate the decision that he made, guess what he did? He took action. Well, here is something that he says about you and I. He says, there is going to come a day where every single one of us at some point is going to stand before God. And we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account as to whether or not we were faithful. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ, I want to tell you this. He is fully committed to you. And to prove his commitment, he did this. He took action and he gave up his life. So today, if you're here and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know what Jesus is asking you to do? Be decisive. Make a decision today. You see, Jesus said that if you deny me before man, at some point I'm going to deny you before my Father. You see, your success in leaving this earth and being in the presence of God is heavily dependent on your decision. And so Jesus says, I want you to decide. So if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to decide today to follow him, would you just indicate by raising your hand? If you're here and you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart and you would like to have a relationship with him this morning, would you just indicate by just raising your hand? Because he is fully committed to you. So if you're here and you would like to do that, just raise your hand. Simple. So we can. What we want to do is just to pray for you. We want to pray that you would come to know Jesus because he is so committed to you. And he wants you to be committed to him. So once again, let me just ask one more time. If you're here and you have never trusted Jesus and you would like to make a decision for him today, would you please just indicate by raising your hand? Just raising your hand. There are some of you that are here and you know that there have been some issues in your life to where you have not been committed. You've been struggling because of the fear of failure. You've been struggling with indecisions, and you've been struggling with making commitment and being responsible. And you want to start making a decision today that I'm going to be committed no matter what. I'm going to be decisive. I'm going to start letting go of the things that are keeping me from making those decisions, and I'm going to take action. If that's you, would you just indicate by raising your hand? We just want to pray with you. If you're here and you know you've been struggling with some decisions in your life and you know that there are some issues in your life that you have not really committed to. As a matter of fact, I might not be committed to this church. I might not be committed to reading the word. I might not be committed to growing as a believer. If that's you and you would like to start doing that today, would you just indicate by raising your hand? With that said, let us just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Your word has spoken, O God. We thank you for your word because we know that you are fully committed to us, O God. You are so committed to us that you gave up your life for us so that we may have life. And we thank you for it, O God. May it be that we may be fully committed to you. That we will decide, like Joshua, and says, as for me and my house today, I'm going to make a decision. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kelvin. Would you stand with us, please?